It's Mark Brenne on CFAX 1070.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be.
3:37, 23 before 4. Do you know a senior who's still working? I do. I talk to a lot of seniors at the pool. People who have retired, but in many cases, they want to do something outside the house. Many of them volunteer for a charity or help with an organization of some sort. But a lot of seniors are working, and it's not always because they want something else to do. In a lot of cases, it's for the cash. It's for the money, honey. According to the 2016 census, one in five seniors in Canada worked at some point in 2015. 30% worked full-time or part-time. Let's find out if this is a growing trend. Nora Spinks is a CEO with the Vanier Institute. Background for you, Vanier Institute is a national independent charitable organization that does a lot of work in looking into the diversity and the complexities of families and the reality of family life in this country. Nora, thank you very much for taking the time at your dinner time in Ottawa.
Oh, my pleasure.
Are more seniors working now than in the past?
Well, actually, the number of seniors in the paid labor force has gone up steadily over the last several decades. And most recently, we saw the impact of the 2008 downturn in the economy. And so more seniors delayed retirement. Of those that are working, about half of them are there because they want to work, and half of them is because they need to work. And only about four in ten seniors don't have any private pensions. So the only income they have is their savings, their equity, or their CPP OAS.
And CPP is not going to get you much more than maybe 2 weeks worth of groceries.
Yeah, if you max out CPP and OAS, you may get around $1,200 a month.
Okay, more than groceries, but it's not going to pay the full freight, yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so is this cause for concern that so many people, seniors, are working not because they want to, but the other half that you were saying, because they need to?
Well, there's a couple of things that we're interested in looking at. And one of the reasons is, why? Is it just the basic day-to-day costs, or is it more than that? So one of the things that the data shows is that 3 in 10 seniors are actually providing financial support to their children and their grandchildren. And so they're covering the costs not only of their own living, but maybe another generation as well. But one of the most interesting things is the number of seniors who are carrying debt. And historically, by the time you retired, you were pretty much debt-free. You didn't have a mortgage anymore. You had no credit card debt. You're pretty debt-free. And now about 42% of senior families are carrying a debt, and some of that is quite significant. So when we look at sort of the overall picture, it's becoming really interesting, and we now see seniors participating in the paid labor force in what we used to think of as entry-level positions, so service, retail, hospitality. And so what's interesting is that seniors are actually now competing in the labor market with their grandchildren. And so entry-level jobs are also exit-level jobs. And so the paid labor force is looking quite different than it was. So you're just as likely to encounter a senior going through the drive-through as you are somebody in their late teens or early 20s.
I've really noticed that. You've nailed it. I know a couple of people that are in their senior years. They work at a Home Depot and a McDonald's, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we're seeing that more and more. I'm wondering, though, is this a good thing? I mean, well, obviously it's not good if somebody has to continue working when they're in their late 60s because they have heavy debt. But what I'm saying, as a society, I mean, isn't that kind of neat that you've got not just the freckle-faced 18, 17-year-old at the McDonald's counter, but you also have grandma there who's still working? I think that's kind of cool.
Exactly. And the beauty is, and the good news part of this story, is that we're all living longer. And if you make it to the age of 65, your life expectancy is another 10 or 15 years beyond that. So you're going to be looking well into your 80s or even your 90s. And so if you think back to today's 65-year-olds, they're baby boomers. And when baby boomers were born, life expectancy for men was 63 and for women was 68. And we created a retirement age of 65. And now we're saying if you get to 65, you're going to be living another 10 or 15 years beyond that. So it's a good news story. What we haven't yet done is sort of figured out what that means. Now, if you can continue working and you love your job and it's earning you good income and you have some autonomy and you have some flexibility and you have some choice, then the likelihood is you're going to keep working. So we see people like lawyers and accountants and well-paid professionals continuing to work. It's a little bit harder if you use your body. If you're in construction, you're a stonemason, you are in construction in some way. And so that kind of work is harder to keep doing into your 70s or 80s. Or if you've got a job that doesn't allow you to stay on the job, or there's just too much competition, or you don't have the flexibility to stay. So you're going to look for something else like McDonald's or Walmart checkout or your local grocery store.
What are you hearing as far as job availability to seniors? Are companies playing fairly? Are they hiring that 17-year-old at the McDonald's counter in an equal number as they are hiring grandfather or grandmother?
We don't have much recent data on that right at the moment, but it is something that we are starting to collect.
Because there is ageism out there, right? We know that. There's ageism out there.
Right, and the ageism can work in both directions. So you may have some employers who are choosing a 60-something over a teen and vice versa. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that workplaces are being equitable and fair in their hiring. Now, from an employer's perspective, in many industries and many sectors, we're already experiencing a labor shortage. So for them, this is a gift. And to have seniors who are interested and willing to participate in the paid labor force and contribute their skills, their talents, their time, their expertise, that's a good thing for employers. Where the risk is discrimination. So if you have to work, then are you being discriminated against by an employer who might not give you decent shifts or might not treat you as fairly as they might if you had a little bit more voice or power or a little bit more flexibility when it comes to standing up for your rights and fairness?
I should think that in most cases, a senior might be more equipped just through the experience that person has had and attained throughout their lives than, let's say, a younger person at standing up for their rights. Would that be a fair assessment, or am I being too general here?
Hard to say. I don't have the data on that, but we do know that regardless of your age, when you feel stuck, like you don't have any choice, and that if you lose this income or whatever benefits you have, that your life experience will be more negative. And so it's people without a voice as opposed to specifically by age. And it really depends on the employer or the work. Now, having said that, there are a lot of assumptions that are made about seniors. You know, they're not as tech savvy as young people, when in fact, we know that seniors may be just as tech savvy. They might not have played Tetris their whole adolescence and might not pack a grocery bag quite the same way as a result, but they're still quite capable of learning skills and learning how to use cash registers and you know, make change and accept a return.
When we come back after the break, Nora, I'd like to ask you more about the positions, because I'd hate to think that all these positions are in the service industry. That's a noble profession. It needs to be done. It can be lucrative. It's tough on the footsies, on the feet. Get those Dr. Scholes out. But I'd like to think that there are other jobs out there for seniors than McDonald's or, like I mentioned, Home Depot or working in a restaurant. My guest is Nora Spinks. She's CEO of the Vanier Institute. We're talking about more seniors going back to work.
You're listening to Mark Brenne on CFAX 1070.
Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you were.
350, 10 to 4. According to the 2016 Canadian Census, one in five seniors in this beautiful country of ours worked at some point in 2015, 30% of whom worked full year and full time. About half said they wanted to do something outside the home. The other half, well, they had to work. Many of them had no pension plan. A lot of them have a lot of debt. So right now, seniors are competing with their grandchildren for entry-level jobs. Isn't that interesting? Let's find out what kind of jobs. Nora Spinks is with us. She's the CEO of the Vanier Institute. Nora, you kind of touched on this earlier, but what kind of positions are we talking about? And what kind of places? Are they just restaurants or elsewhere?
Oh, no. Seniors are working in all kinds of industries, all kinds of work. The more diverse the senior population, the more diverse the work experience. What we are seeing is that both men and women are working in seniorhood. And so if you look at that generation, it's one of the generations where women started to work in the paid labor force in big numbers. So it's everything from professional positions right through to skilled labor, unskilled labor, service industry for sure. It's as diverse as there are seniors.
And are senior men more likely than senior women to work, or is that an even mix?
There's a little bit more men in the paid labor force, senior men, than women, but that's proportionate to the number of women that were in the paid labor force before typical retirement age. So we're expecting that this current generation that's in the paid labor force will be looking for a variety of different ways to redefine their career as they age. Right now, most people, it's work full time until you retire and then do nothing. What people are now starting to look for is a way to phase into retirement. So instead of being all or nothing, maybe drop down to 4 days a week, 3 days a week. And that will require some employers to rethink their human resources and how they structure work and how they manage their labor pool. Some leave and become consultants. Some will start their own businesses. Some will go into business with their children or their grandchildren. It's an interesting time as we're seeing the adaptation that occurs naturally when there's a big demographic change. And the fact that we're all living longer makes that demographic change one to watch very carefully.
Mm-hmm. And your point that nearly 3 in 10 who were surveyed for your research said they provide financial support to their children. I'm finding that a little worrisome because a senior's children would be in their 30s or 40s in that age group, and they're still having to provide some financial support. What does that say about where we're going as a society?
Well, you know, it's interesting to look at how our finances are becoming more intertwined across generations. So in some families, seniors are helping to pay for their grandchildren's hockey or music lessons, or even childcare for that matter. In other ways, in other families, those 40-somethings with a couple of children are offsetting the cost of the seniors' living expenses, for example. We know that two fastest growing household types in Canada right now are multi-generational households and living solo. And living solo is often seniors. And that tends to be when there's a couple where one of them dies. And it's one thing to be able to cover the expenses when you have two incomes coming in, two CPPs, two OASs. When one person dies, that income's cut in half. And that's where sometimes families start to rely on each other to find meaningful ways to manage the financial realities of that loss.
I'd like you to comment on this interesting email that I received from Heather. She says, your guest may find this interesting. I find it sad that we have regressed where to the point that many of us will never enjoy a retirement. Many of us have worked for 40 to 50 years and are tired and look to our forefathers that could retire on one household income earner. We no longer have any buying power. And boy, oh boy, do the large corporations love to take advantage of that. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, I think, you know, you can look at it as the glass half full or the glass half empty, or you can just look at it and say there's too much glass. And what is, is. And the reality is we're all living a lot longer. And, you know, this concept of Freedom 55, where you could retire at 55 and, you know, spend your life on your sailboat, was really more of a sales pitch for insurance than it was any sort of reality. In the past, people were able to go to work and then stop, but your retirement was only 3 to 4 years. We're now talking about 15 or 20 years. And, you know, unless you've been saving and or able to cash out on your real estate or your investments, that's not a reality for most working families. And so it's not that it's a negative. It just is a fact.
I got 1 minute left. I'd like you to address this text message. I'm reading a cold. This is from Tim, who has a question about seniors volunteering after retirement. He wonders if the quantity of seniors who volunteer after they stop working in order to keep a paycheck coming in is severely affected in this new marketplace. Please ask your guest if she has any data on these numbers, please.
Well, we have some interesting data on volunteerism, and certainly seniors are a big part of the volunteer workforce, and they do make an enormous contribution to our communities and to our economy, whether it's providing care for somebody or whether it's volunteering in the community, whether it's you know, doing anything, any charitable work whatsoever. So they do play a big role. What we're finding with the people who are in the paid labor force, many of them are working on a part-time basis. So it still leaves them time to contribute voluntarily in their communities.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Hey, listen, Nora, thank you for this conversation. I've quite enjoyed it. I'm looking at the clock and we've got to put an end to it here. But thank you so much for the work that you've done and for helping us to learn more about this today.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Call anytime.
You bet. Thank you very much. Okay. Nora, thank you. Nora Spinks, she's been on this program several times, from the Vanier Institute in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.